the greatest American-born hockey player of all time, Mike Modano. Live on stage tonight at Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm, Ticket Stock 2024 at the Plano Event Center. Brought to you by VisitBigBen.com, Phil Dill Boats, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket.
It is 5:33 here at Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm, Ticket Stock 2024, live from the Plano Event Center on Spring Creek Parkway, just east of 75. This is roundtable number one before we will have Mike Modano join us on stage.
Mike Modano!
Here tonight, brought to you by VisitBigBen.com and Field Deal Boats. My name is Donovan Lewis.
Hey, Donovan.
Hi, Donovan.
Hi.
Where have you been?
Alongside all of my coworkers here.
Yeah.
On the end, there's Matt McLaren.
Hello.
There's Craig Jr. Jones Miller.
Craig.
Robert Bob Sterminator Sturm. George Moose Dunham.
Okay, thank you.
Well, they hate you.
Davey Soda Lane.
Thank you. So thin.
And Corbett the Snake Corby Davidson.
Hello.
Oh, right. Man, the ladies love you, dude.
Yeah, they do. Oh,
I got the biggest smattering.
Look at that long, flowing hair you have. Like, what's happening here? What's going on here? What are you doing?
I think it looks great.
Whatever, bro. Just letting it go.
Yeah, man.
I got it all cut. You don't remember this, but like in May, I kind of cut it shorter, and then I haven't had a haircut since.
Did you get it layered?
I don't know what
feathered.
That means.
Bob's being a jerk again.
He is. You're just being mean.
How is that being a jerk? Because
you laughed right after you said it.
Oh. And you said it in a very condescending
way. I knew
way.
I was condescending.
And it's ironic that Bob's the hair bully.
I was excited. I knew a hair term.
Layered.
Did you get it highlighted?
Layered. Okay, so we
is
have.
Is that an ombre?
See, I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
That's where it goes sunned? From dark to light or something.
We were alerted that. By the way,
you're so
where's
robotic.
Gordon?
That's always where's the,
where's
always
the sweet spot?
They're finishing up their AMA.
Oh, okay. They with quit. Gordon, I guess.
They decided not to be here.
Where's Gordon?
Because, boy, I had a lot of questions for them, man. I had them on the run.
Yeah, so we just found out from someone who came up here to the stage that there's a couple that drove, and I guess they do this every year, all the way from Memphis?
Oh, yeah.
Where
oh,
they
wow.
Are
yeah, I remember that last year.
All right, Memphis, Tennessee. How about that Ghost River Beer Company? Not bad.
They've never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, they do. Memphis Made is there.
Beer.
You think they know right now. Okay, someone get the wireless mic. We need the wireless.
Do you guys know Ghost River Brew?
Uh-oh. No,
Memphis Made, you know them?
I have one yes and one no.
There it is.
Yeah, they're agreeing with you to just make you go away.
Just shut you up.
Stop it.
You can turn my mic off whenever you want.
Six beers in.
I will go home.
Yeah, how many sips have you had, man?
I had a beer.
Uh-huh. But it's hitting you a little different because you haven't had one in a while because you're hernia boy.
Yeah.
Hello. Ooh, that's true.
Yeah, have you had
are
one?
You mixing your pills with your booze?
I'm not taking any pills.
Are
you
not
crushing
any
up the pills
oh, yeah.
And then dissolving it in the beer?
Like with his boots?
Straight up mainlining them?
Yeah.
I snorted the pills.
Yeah. How many days did you have to stay on pills?
I think 5 or 6.
Man.
Gordon Keith, everybody!
Hey! Now it can start.
Fashionably
how did
late.
You do on them? Did you do okay? Did you have hallucinations
late.
Or anything?
No, it wasn't that bad. It was that. I had a pain pill and a muscle relaxer that
you
I
got
was
the wireless
together. So.
Oh, Sean's got it.
I had to have them. Like, I tried not to go without
yeah.
And
hey,
Sean.
It's not going to happen.
That couple
yeah.
In the blue shirt and the. Go raise what? Your hands, Memphis.
Memphis people.
There you go.
Memphis, Tennessee. You guys live by the Peabody? No? You ever go to Memphis in May?
We can't hear you.
The Beale Street Music Festival? That's cool.
Yeah, 1, 2.
That's so lit.
Check. There you go.
Matt is almost out of Memphis.
Hey, America.
Ask them if they know
come
that
here,
Elvis is from Memphis.
Oh, sugar. Her husband is right there, dude.
You guys ever party at Rayford's?
No.
No?
That's a little dangerous.
Yeah, it's a little weird in there. Oh,
how long you live there in Memphis?
Short time. I'm from here.
Okay. Well, yeah, we kind of figured that there was some connection here.
Jeez.
And how many years have you made the drive from Memphis to here?
About 10.
Wow.
Damn.
That's amazing.
How long of a drive is it?
7 hours.
That's not bad.
And then do you guys have kids or anything?
She does.
It's very personal.
Are they?
26-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Okay. You have a 26-year-old?
26.
You don't,
I thought you were 35.
Yeah. Did you have a child at did you have a child at 9?
19.
Okay.
Way to go, Corby.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there is. Was it a planned pregnancy?
At 19, she's like,
"Go, Gordon."
Well, some people are married at 19.
Gordon will never come back.
I was at UT Knoxville having some fun.
All right.
3.6 grade point average,
and
too, though.
Rocky Top.
How long did you stay with the father of that
good
child?
14 years. Second one, he's going on 11, so he's trying to beat that.
Okay.
Nice. All right.
Well, so wait,
that's the definition of freshman 15. You had a whole baby.
Yeah, you did. Did you immediately marry that man or boy, that guy?
Yeah, it was the right thing to do. I grew up Southern Baptist.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's why you have
brother.
Hey,
you know what?
Guess
what they say? If you spread,
right. She wasn't
wed.
Allowed to dance, but she could.
But she could have sex.
Wait. I want you to hear clearly what Donovan Lewis just said. Go ahead, Donovan.
Go ahead, Donovan.
This is
an
old saying in Southern Baptist. If you spread, you wed.
You spread, you win.
Yeah, you win.
Okay.
Sorry, kids.
No,
have your parents explain that one to you.
I tried it for as long as I could.
Okay.
Are you close with your 26-year-old?
Oh, yeah. She just got married in October, and she's living in California
as
a travel NICU nurse.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
they're going to go
making bank.
A what nurse?
Travel NICU nurse. She takes care of
NICU.
I didn't hear her. I was asking.
What did you think she said?
That's the ICU for babies.
You're like Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You always think it's about you.
I did not hear what she said.
What do you mean by he's like Kevin Durant? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Wait a minute. So when did you break up with first hubby?
After 14 years, he couldn't get clean. He was doing drugs and went to about 6.
Way to go, Corby.
No, Corby.
Stop.
What are you doing?
But he's been clean for 10 years now.
Well, good
for
him.
So we're all close.
Don't stand up on that.
That's not a thank you moment.
It actually ended up being a great story.
Yeah, I'm glad I brought that up. Because I can't handle having High Horse Gordon sitting next to me.
That is an annoying character.
What kind of drugs was he involved in?
Oxycontin.
Yeah.
Hydrocodone.
Same stuff
yep.
Matt's on right now.
Right.
All the stuff
right
he's got
now.
That problem.
It's true. Adderall. No, I'm just kidding, everybody.
I did a bunch of hydrocodone the past week.
But he's clean. But he wasn't doing like, was he a big drinker too, or just the drugs?
Just the drugs.
Just the pills.
Just the pills.
Yeah, it's so boring.
Is it?
Yeah, we should have mixed them.
Did he have like fake scripts? How did he get all the pills?
He worked at FedEx and got into some boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No.
Oh, yeah. Based in
headquarters.
Based in Memphis, yeah.
Based in Memphis, yeah.
Matt just applied to FedEx.
And he didn't like to have sex because he was on all those drugs.
Huh.
So Mama didn't like.
I don't remember he should have got on Blue Chew.
This guy
that.
Loves
to have sex. Number two. Talk about the...
this guy's like, I love having sex.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, well, thank
get a little of that Blue Chew, you'll be just fine.
So will pills do that to you?
Hydrocodone makes you all backed up.
Yeah.
And why are you wanting me? I don't take it.
Yeah, but you used to.
Like sperm
makes you all backed up.
Hydrocodone will make you very comfortable.
Like we talked about this with Elvis, Donovan.
It's very uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That's why
yeah.
Elvis,
he did
had
not
20
have
pounds
well,
of feces.
What does that have to do with, you know, getting it in?
You don't want to do anything. You're
when
so
you're
backed
up.
You're so backed up, you don't want to do anything.
You can't pelvic thrust with all that in your bowels.
Elvis did not have a bowel movement for the last 7 years of his life.
I don't believe that.
They did find
7 years.
They found 4-year-old stool in his intestines.
Yeah.
They found.
Like,
they must have found
grown up
stool
you,
in there.
Not
for
from
can
a
you
carbon year old.
Date stool?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Right. He had taken a test 4 years earlier where they had to inject dye in there,
yeah.
And they found that dye Jesus. 4 years later.
You're in out of your depth here, Junior, but you got the right idea.
You found a banana peel
it
from
was
one of your 4 years ago.
It was 4 months.
I thought it was 4 years.
No,
there's
months.
No way no one can have that in them for 4 years.
No.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Four months
years?
Is amazing.
Yeah, yeah look
no,
it
right.
up.
All of us have leftover stool in us right now.
Not
right.
for 4 years.
It.
So, I bet for 4 years.
So you let one go and you go, oh, that was the steak from 4 years ago.
Remember,
yeah,
remember in Beverly Hills Cop when Rosewood said that you have the average human male has 2 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Yeah, I had that a couple nights ago.
But that's over the course of at least 5 years.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
I
yours
have that
is.
Right now. I
was this the kind of sexy talk you and that first husband did?
How backed up are you?
You got to take Dolgo
888-787.
Well, anyway, thank you to our Memphis
friends. Yeah,
all right, Memphis.
Just to be harassed.
Well, I said the spring training.
Memphis is a fun town.
You are the P1s of ticket stock.
Of the year, I guess.
There was no doubt about it. The P1s of ticket stock.
Mm-hmm.
So, we
do have a buddy who came from Edmonton.
Wait, are we off here?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Because Dave said a sentence, you assume we were off the air.
I just didn't hear any echo when he was talking. So
okay.
Edmonton?
Canada. Wow.
Or Texas.
How many years you lived there?
Why did you go off the shocker?
Sean.
Hang on.
Sean's about to
He's
walk
had
on
enough
stage.
Of you.
He's like, what's going on?
He's so slow.
What did that symbol mean, that hand sign that you threw up?
Shocker?
Yeah, you were doing this. Houston Cougars.
Sean, down here.
Edmonton guy.
Oh, the Edmonton guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Wearing a Stars hat.
Sure.
Did you see his shirt, Gordon?
I did. I love that shirt. Are they selling them here?
People
Where
are paying
is that?
Money for those things.
What does it say?
That's really cool. I want one of those.
Oh, the one
It says
true
the
muser.
One true muser.
Oh, okay.
You would wear that.
I would.
You would not wear that.
Hello, Canadian.
Hello. Hello, sir.
How long have you lived in Edmonton?
40 years.
40?
40.
How did you find us?
One simple Google search, and then you were the first voice I heard.
Who I was?
To? Yes, you were.
How long ago?
2003.
Wow.
About the last, I don't know if I have the time right, but it would have been the last 6 months or 7 months of Grego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're off by a little bit, but that's okay.
How much am I off by?
Maybe a year. 2007.
2007.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so
a long
then,
time.
Okay, so then I'm, yeah, so I wondered why.
But you come down every year for this?
I usually this is 3 out of 4, and then I usually come down in the fall, in the summer.
You in the oil game?
That's amazing.
No, I didn't make the oil game. No.
Wait, no, I'm saying are you in
oil game? No, no.
Oh, I thought everybody lives in Alberta.
Yeah, so we're a wannabe Texas province.
Yeah,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living up there?
I am a senior business operations person for, I know it's very
what
generic.
What does that mean?
Hey,
but,
Sean, Mike, right
in,
up there.
In procurement,
there
specifically,
go.
Is my job.
In procurement.
In
yeah.
procurement.
No,
for the government.
So why did you Google search Dallas Sports Radio?
I got tired of listening to, like, coverage from ESPN and Fox. I needed something local.
Same. Uh-huh.
And so I thought, well.
Yeah.
That's right. Well done,
now, the only thing, and well I got to call Craig out, is that
uh-oh.
I don't have the cool French, you know. I always get a little bit, you know, annoyed when I hear Richard, the Canadian P1.
Yeah.
Yet I don't.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I don't see Richard anywhere.
I don't either.
Fight night.
And 2 years ago, Junior said, well, the do Russian you have a cool French-sounding name? And I went, sadly, no.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's the reason why. So.
Heck yeah. Fight night. Come back in August for fight night.
Yeah.
Maurice. Let's
set it up.
Heck yeah.
I'm a little bit beyond the age, Johnny.
All right. We have just
we've
given.
Gotta go.
We've just given the P1 of the week. We've taken it from the Memphis people.
But how can I fall? I can't fall.
Edmonton.
Oh,
she's not American.
She likes doing it. Let's keep it
going. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I will just now take it back from Edmonton. Right to Memphis.
Yes.
Right.
She actually screws the crap out of guys.
Boy, I said it way nicer than you did.
Are we still on?
Yeah, we
are.
Not anymore. Okay.
Four-year-old crap.
We'll come back with another roundtable live from Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2024, live from the Plano Event Center here on The Ticket.
The Ticket.
All right.
All right, it's 5:52 on The Ticket, and we are live from Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2024, the Plano Event Center, just to the east of I-75, Spring Creek Parkway. It's been the home to so many ticket stocks, and we are underway. We are awaiting the great Mike Madonna, who will be here in just a matter of minutes. He'll be on the air with us here in about 15 minutes. Got a lot of our ticket sponsors out here. Phil Dill Boats is here. Visit BigBen.com. And we got some beer, too. Deep Ellum Brewing Company. And the proceeds of the beers you buy this weekend benefit the Austin Street Center.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
We got our whole crew up here. It's a full round table. It's Corby, Davey, Donovan, Sean, Bob Jr., Matt, and Mino. Gordon took off again. Oh, there he is. Mino.
Hey, George.
He's got the gorilla outfit going this weekend.
I'm kind of half-assing it right now.
Where's the head?
The head's right here. I can put it on. Yeah, I sound like crap on the air, but I'll do it.
That's okay. We need to put it on. We need a gorilla on the round table.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Wrong sexy. Yeah. Sexy gorilla.
That is great.
Gosh, sounds so weird.
So when you're full costume, that has to be miserable.
It's not that bad. The suit isn't bad.
And the lips are moving.
They are. The worst part about it is the hands, because the gloves are very heavy. So you put them on, and my hands will start sweating within like 30 seconds.
Really?
So yeah. I have to be.
Let me try one.
Here, you want? Okay. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but go ahead.
Okay, okay, so when Madonna,
it's all wet in here.
Oh, gross!
Don't put it on. Wanted to put it on.
I didn't know it was all wet in here.
Well,
that's what sweat does.
Okay, you have to ask at least one question per segment of Mike.
Okay,
Madonna, he'll love
it. Just make it kind of gorilla based.
Yeah, all have to be gorilla based questions.
Okay.
Does that thing stink? Because when we were getting costumes for White Elephant Day, and I called Donnie and I said, "Hey, do you trust me?" And he said, "Yeah." And I just got you an elf costume, which wasn't that bad, right?
No, it wasn't.
I almost got us, like, some animals. But if you put the animal head on, like a giraffe or something, I can't tell you the stench of those things.
That's the thing.
So I'm wondering if that thing stinks. Does it stink?
It doesn't right now. But tomorrow, I'll get back to you. So I rented it at a costume place in the, if you can still hear me.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
But I try it on, and... Like, it's sitting there, and I called this place before the show, and I said, "Hey, I need a gorilla outfit for this weekend." God. And I'm trying to give them this backstory, like, "Hey, I lost a bet. We have the station."
Don't
event.
Make so many hand motions.
Keep making them like John Madden. He's like John Madden. They're going, rah, 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 rah.
Conversational gorillas.
So I'm telling them the story, and they're like, "Yeah, we get it. We're a costume shop. Like, this is what people come here for."
Right.
So the show ends, and I go over there, and I'm going to the going to the
doing
costume
a swimming
shop.
Motion right now,
and. It's just, it's hanging there for me on the fitting room.
His face.
And I try it on, and as soon as I put the suit on first, because it's a three-piece. It's the onesie, it's the hands, and then the mask. So I put the suit on first, and as soon as, it's a long zip, like right from the crotch right up, and as soon as I zip it up, I get this whiff, this stink.
Yeah,
I bet.
Whoever wore it before me.
Because you can't.
I was going to say, can they dry clean them? There's no way
to
clean them.
But it doesn't really do much. And I put it all on.
They Febreze that thing.
Could you Febreze in a shop vac?
Could you adjust your mouthpiece just a little bit?
Down a little bit.
Down.
Right here.
Gorilla mouth.
Gorilla does not wear a headset.
Yeah. I'm learning.
Yeah, what do you expect a gorilla to know how to put on a headset?
He thinks the noise comes out.
He's used to signing everything.
I just think,
he's not used to talking.
I just think opposable thoughts in the room.
He's got him signing.
That means Mino a kid. Yeah, there's nipples to it, too, but the nipples fell off. They snap on. Yeah, I wore it during the show. Yeah, my nipples,
like
my belly button.
Like,
fell
if you get
off.
Up and turn around, do you have a cinnamon bun ass?
I don't think so. You give me a cinnamon bun, I will.
Okay. So who was, as a kid, who was creeped out by Planet of the Apes movies?
I was obsessed.
I was so scared.
Absolutely obsessed. And still am. The new one's coming out. We just talked about the trailer.
Saw that during the
Super Bowl
drop?
Yeah, the Kingdom,
and,
right?
And now the apes are in charge.
What?
And it's about time.
I thought they were in the first one.
Yeah, didn't they?
At the very end. Like, what? But wait.
Yeah. The whole premise of Planet of the Apes was they were in charge.
Yeah, you know, it was the
Charlton
future.
Charlton Heston was taken prisoner.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So was that hot woman.
But he's talking about the current
iteration of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Corby's entire Planet of the Apes, House of Cards is falling.
Wait a second. Wait, I totally misunderstood that movie. I was wondering why they were the only ones that drove cars. As the apes are bungee jumping and growing their own weed.
They were leading really kick-ass lives.
How many modern ones have there been? I think I've only seen
four.
This is going to be the fourth one?
Yeah, and they're all
how many good ones?
Masterpieces.
They're good.
The first couple I thought were good.
Andy Serkis plays the main guy.
Yeah, Caesar.
Yeah, and he's awesome.
How about the Woody Harrelson one? Like, Woody was the bad guy? He was one of the best bad guys. He was so mean.
And they actually make sense, which
is
great.
Was he a bad ape or a bad guy?
No, he was a bad guy.
What's the
all humans are bad in these films.
James Franco was nice.
Yeah, he was.
What's the one where it showed everyone getting on, going to the airport, and they had whatever the plague was, and it showed how it was being spread all over the world?
That was Outbreak. That wasn't Planet of the Apes.
No, that was Contagion.
That was Contagion.
Gordon. Contagion with Matt Damon and Gwyneth Paltrow.
No, but that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. Shut up! asking a gorilla question. Ask from either the gorilla or Corby.
Same thing.
Because he looks like a monkey.
You do.
It was too offensive to me. I didn't watch it.
Like Mickey Dolenz.
You hadn't watched the gorilla?
You found it offensive?
Yeah.
Oh, it's offensive.
Yeah, too much.
There's not enough gorillas in them.
Okay.
Oh.
I think it was the second one.
That's the last one I
saw.
But now the humans can't talk in this new
Because it's like
version.
A time jump forward,
yeah,
right?
I believe so. Yeah. But it looks great.
Is it weird that the orangutans are like the quiet, wise ones
that just drive golf carts around.
I don't know.
They always look like the.
That's a great video.
They always look like your uncle because they got the beer belly and they always are just kind of sitting around.
Right, right.
Scratching their balls.
Making weird hand gestures. Yeah. Am I the only one who watched Lancelot Link as a kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
That was like before TV.
Lancelot Link.
Lancelot Link, and it was chimps.
This lady watched it.
It was hilarious, wasn't it?
The woman with the walker out there, she watched it.
She looks younger than you.
What the hell is it?
Oh!
I haven't aged well, Giorgio. It's no secret, all right? I'm not doing so well.
George just pew-pewed you.
Lancelot Link.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, they had chimps talking to each other. They gave them peanut butter. And
on segways.
And, they had a band. It was great.
What about Banana Splits? Didn't they also have monkeys or apes?
Well, just in the opening scene.
Those
are kind of creepy when you think about it now, Banana Splits.
It showed really good cartoons. One was a gorilla, one was a dog.
Like, you mean as an ice cream
There were four
treat?
Of them.
Weren't they always riding go-karts around and stuff?
Yeah.
Which one?
And they were at, like, Six Flags. Yes, they were
the
at
The one
Six
in
Flags.
St. Louis, though, right? It wasn't the one
I
here.
So. Lance
Which Lance. One yeah. did they do the courtroom scene from A Few Good Men?
How was that?
That's a great one.
Bob being a jerk again.
So, no, it's monkeys at the movies, right?
Yeah.
The TBS?
Yeah, You Can't Handle the Truth.
Yeah, and they did Forrest Gump.
You're kidding me.
What?
No, this is out there.
How do I not know about this?
What was this on?
You Can't Handle the Truth.
No.
It was their little vignettes on, I think, TBS, probably.
At the movies?
That's what Lancelot Link was. They were spies, but they also had a band.
Yeah, the one.
I think George is lost.
Right? Ma'am, you watched Lancelot Link. They were spies, weren't they?
That from 1970, it was one season.
She doesn't know
one
what
you're season.
Yes.
Well, they put it in syndication.
Like
I watched it every day after school.
Weird.
Have you seen the video of the dingoes? I don't know what zoo this is, but like the wild dingoes, which I don't know if they have those in the Fort Worth or Dallas zoos. But somebody brought their dog. And I think it was probably like a service dog. Someone needed it, you know, because I don't think you could bring your dog to the zoo. But it was a chow, and the chow was sitting at like the enclosure, the window of the enclosure, and the one dingo was about 20 yards away and raised his head up and saw that dog.
Wanted to kill it.
And it never, I guess, had never seen a dog before, a domesticated
dog.
How'd you get out?
And he starts making all these noises, and then here comes like 20 other of these dingoes, and they run right up to the window, and the other dog is like, I'm out of here. Like, he was like tearing ass out of there. But
could you imagine taking your dog to the zoo?
What happened?
No, the end.
Oh, that's it?
That was the story?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, so then the dingoes had machine guns. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Gordon's back into it now.
But they also had a band.
They did.
They were spies.
No, it sounds like a great show.
They worked for agents.
They also had a band.
The name of the agency they worked for is called Agency to Prevent Evil. APE. A-P-E.
Really?
Yeah. I just looked it up.
On Banana Splits.
No, Lancelot. What are you doing?
Monkey spy show.
You're so behind.
And Lance had a wife that was always wearing him down to, hey, Lancelot!
Okay, so that's why George thinks it's funny.
So that she was...
It's relatable.
What is Banana Splits? That was a TV show?
No. Banana Splits.
It was a porn.
It was a variety show.
No, there's no way.
They hosted a cartoon show.
They hosted like...
it's a move.
What were the shows on Banana Splits?
Like, wasn't it like
Penelope Chongo, Danger Island?
Danger Island.
Danger
yeah.
Island.
What?
Yeah.
You don't remember? Uh-oh, Chongo!
I do, yeah.
No?
And
no.
The Banana Splits.
I'm with you.
Yeah. They would ride around on go-karts. They, too, had a band.
They did have a band.
And in between cartoons, they would show the Banana Splits, the dog, the gorilla, and
was it like Dick Dastardly and Penelope Pitstop and all that in the Banana Splits, or am I thinking of something
put
else?
Out an unplugged
oh, okay.
Record.
What is Banana? And all that stuff? What was...
So Banana
like
Splits,
H.R. Puffin stuff?
Yeah,
Hanna-Barbera,
Sigmund and the Sea Monster, that was a different thing. That was the Croft thing.
Hang on, Junior's got it.
The Banana Splits were Flegal, Bingo, Drooper, and Snorky.
Snorky.
They look like some sort of screwed up band from Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Cactus
exactly
says,
what they were.
We got to go because Mike Modano is here. And he is next
alrighty
on the ticket.
When you're partying with us at Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2024 at the Plano Event Center, enjoy a cold one from Deep Ellum Brewing Company, the official beer of Ticket Stock. From Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
All right, 6:15 here on The Ticket. It is Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2024. Live from the Plano Center, Spring Creek Parkway, just east of 75. And it's time for our special guest. He is an old friend of all of us. Not old, just an old friend of all of us. He is the face of your Dallas Stars. There's going to be a statue unveiling on March 16th of the man. The greatest American hockey player ever. It's Mike Modano.
Yeah. There he is. Look at that jacket. Ooh, look at that leather jacket.
Looking good. Need to put the gorilla Mike. Head back on.
What's up, bud? How you doing, man?
Hey, Mikey. How are you?
Look at this.
Nice set. I know it.
Mikey.
Look at that.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Oh, you look good. Jesus.
God, he's hot.
He does look good.
He is hot. Yeah. That is a hot man right there.
Look right here.
Good Lord.
Front and center.
I have a chubby.
Yeah.
Was that you?
Don't say that out loud.
Yeah. There he is.
Oh,
look
yes.
at this.
Gordon and I already talked.
There.
Got it there?
I'll help you.
Bob's going to help you out.
There, look at that.
Help me out.
There you go.
How are you, buddy?
Where's the recliners?
I know.
We had to cut the budget.
Yeah,
we've had budget.
To afford you.
Tough for 30 years, huh?
It has been tough. It's been tough. You don't know.
So we were talking about this earlier, the fact that, you know, the statue thing, and we had you on when it was announced, but your whole family's going to be down here. And because I know your kids look at you as nothing more than dad, no matter what you tell them and no matter what YouTube things you show them. But I think this may be the first realization that, oh, wow, Dad was kind of cool when they pull off the tarp and there you are.
Probably so. There's been moments. I think one was coming here for some games here. We've been here for a couple times. And then, you know, recently we've gone to a lot of Wild games at XL in Minnesota. So I spent a lot of time walking around the concourse with the kids. And, you know, people are like, you know, shaking hands. Can you take a picture, sign this? And, you know, so... You know how humbling kids are. They're like, "Man, Dad, you got a lot of friends." I was like, "I know, guys. I meet a lot of people, and they're friendly here, you know." And so then my 7-year-old, of course, I think they know you, Dad, from the Mighty Ducks. I was like, "Yeah, that's it, Mighty Ducks." So that's my following now, Mighty Ducks.
And you'd be right across from Dirk. Dirk meant so much to the Mavericks, and even we were talking about this morning. When you came to town, like it or not, you were pretty much put forward as the face of the franchise. Were you ever told to, hey, we need you to sell hockey at the same time, or is it just happened?
No, we, I was asked you were to do told. The hard sell.
Did you go here and make this appearance? And...
Hockey 101, we did for about 3 years there, and explaining what the, you know, a lot of the rules and what was happening on. And, you know, our in-house speaker at the arena reunion was announcing offsides. This is icing, you know, on the PA announcer. So there was a hard learning curve there. And, you know, granted, we did have a lot of people from the Midwest had moved down to Dallas missing hockey. But we're out of the gates running. We were just selling it hard. And I think I came down earlier in the summer before we started, and I did a deal at Target, and I think I saw, like, maybe five people in there. And they just happened to just stop by. Who are you, and what are you doing here? I was like, we're tapping into a whole new market. And, of course, you know, you come down at the worst time when the Cowboys win three, you know, Super Bowls in 4 years or whatever. Yeah. So it was a hard sell. But over time, I think we picked away at it, and we created a fan base that's pretty solid.
Did you ever get comfortable with that? It felt like, you're not the most outspoken guy, so I don't know how comfortable you were in trying to sell hockey to a whole new region.
As a kid, you were 22 or something.
Yeah, I think it was more just getting out in the communities, you know, going to schools, playing street hockey, just kind of getting kids involved in the game. We always thought if kids like hockey, they're going to say to their dad, hey, I want to go see the Stars, and your dad's going to be like, okay, you know, give them the pouty eyes, and, you know, you're going to take them to a hockey game. So I think that was our sell, to get kids involved, create a hockey environment for kids, build arenas. If the kids were involved, I think the fans and the families and the parents come with it. So it was a crazy first 3 or 4 years, and then that, you know, of course, the honeymoon era wears off. They're like, okay, what kind of product are you going to put on the ice, and this and that. So we went through a whole, you know, changing of coaches when Bob stepped down and Hitch came in town. And then at that point, I think we just, you know, we were just off to the races after that with our team and the Cup and the Western Conference and the playoff runs. We had a reunion. It was just, you know, moments we never forget for sure. Great.
Ask him your speed skating question.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Bob posted this video of you, like a 5-minute, your career defined in 5 minutes. So congratulations. You have 5 minutes of fame.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was like from the 100 greatest players of all time.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember where they ranked you. Do you know? Or was it just a 100 and they didn't rank them?
Just 100.
Okay.
So
probably been a 99, probably.
Clearly, like the speed sticks out first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
But you have said that you were not the fastest runner. Like when you were growing up, kids would beat you in races, mm-hmm. but you were always the fastest skater.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
That's fair. I think running's more, you know, linear. You kind of go in pumping the legs this way. The stride, once it starts, you start going side to side. So I was, like you said, terrible sprinter, you know, working on it all summer to try to get quicker on the ice. But I think once I got on the ice, it's more, you know, this timing, edge, you know, how you work the edges and how you cross over, get your speed going, instead of this straightaway running, which I was just not good at.
Well, let's say at 4 years old, they put skates on you and they notice that you're really fast. And someone, you know, some local scout guy's like, you know what? We should put this kid in, like, speed skating training, like Olympic-type stuff. Could you have gone that route, like Eric Heiden or something like that, if you would have just said, no hockey, no stick, no anything, no puck, I'm just going to skate? Were you that fast, you think, that you could have done that if trained all the way through?
See, I don't know if that's more fast or distance.
Endurance.
Maybe the distance.
You know, okay, well, like, you know, Apollo Anton Ono, one of those guys.
I don't know. That's kind of a short track thing, and that's just kind of positioning and kind of getting off to it. But Heiden was, you know, those are 10,000-meter races, I think he did, you know. The crazy thing, it was outside, you know, it's out in Lake Placid, outdoors, you know, so you had wind, you know, going with the wind against it. So, but I don't know, I was probably around 12 or 13 in Detroit and playing for Little Caesars, and I had a real wide stride, and I took a couple power skating lessons that summer, and so my stride came more inward so that I could use more skate. It stayed on the ice longer. So, you know, he had more push, and that's where that speed came from, about 12 or 13. Then things kind of changed from there. So,
see, I've heard you explain this, Mike, a few times over the years, and the thing that always occurs to me is, wouldn't the rest of the league do that same thing so that you're not faster than them? Because when you were playing, I almost never saw anyone as fast as you. So it must be more than technique.
They probably would have tried those same things.
I don't know if it's technique or just, you know, how I skated. I don't know. Just don't know how you can, you know, use the variables that describe who's faster than that and who's slower. But, you know, in 91, we had a Canada Cup, and I was in Pittsburgh, and the equipment guy for the Penguins used to skate sharpen Paul Coffey skates. So I said, he goes, you need to try Paul Coffey. So, you know, the edges, you know, steel's about, you know, an eighth of an inch thick, and then you have this hollow. So when it's sharpened, it's like this.
Yes.
You know, so the edge goes like this. Well, Paul's was flat. There's no edging to it. Hmm. So I was like, you know, so he put it on there, and so it was really slippery, like it was right out of the box. And so I had no edging, but, you know, over time there was less friction on the ice, so the edges didn't sink in. You know, there's a whole physics to this thing. So I was like, oh, let's try that. And so from 91 till, you know, I retired, I had a real flat, you know, hollow on my skate. It, you know, when ice gets built up and snowy, it gets a little heavy and slow. So this allowed me to kind of have a little bit more speed on top of the snow.
And
so,
it wouldn't affect stopping or changing direction?
No, once you got used to it, it was good.
Wow.
It was good.
Okay.
Did you have your jersey, like, custom tailored to flat behind you like that?
I think it was a little oversized. Yeah. Most guys wore a 52. I think I had a 56.
Okay.
I think it was a little bit too oversized, maybe.
So you were aware that every adult league hockey player dreamed of making their jersey flap in the wind, even though it couldn't happen, right?
I don't know.
It turned into a trademark,
yeah.
Yeah,
it turned into a trademark. Now their jerseys are real form-fitted. You can't even get that thing to just move a little bit.
So. It's a real shame.
It is.
So the statue is going to have the jersey tail flapping in the wind, right? Because we haven't seen it.
He's probably not allowed to say.
He doesn't want to tell you.
But you can tell us at least that.
It's him shooting a fadeaway.
Right back at Dirk. Thing,
yeah, they use the other two balls.
Yeah, they just put a different face on the Dirk thing.
Yeah, you see the mock-up for Dirk.
It won't be the cup over the head or a slap shot. So, but you're on to something there, Craig.
Okay.
Did you have any say? Like, they showed you the original cut?
We flipped through pictures, hundreds of them, just to kind of narrow it down to the one we came up with. So it'll be unique. So people see it, they'll say, yeah, that's the one you should have picked.
Okay. Was there any where you're like, no, I don't want that? Did you have to veto any?
My eyes are
like a baby picture. Yeah, baby picture or something.
They're like, we want to do this.
All right. I'm in a Red Wings one in this.
That's
one.
Right. We did pull some Red Wings up because some of the skating and stuff were happened to be with wing jerseys on. So, but we're like, oh, we got to veto those. I'm sure we can find something with an old 99 logo on it.
You talked about, like, when you first got here and how the franchise, you had to teach people. Well, when you first got to Dallas, there was no ice anywhere. I think Prestonwood might have had some, Galleria had some. That might have been it at the time. How weird was that to try to get kids involved in it? Because I grew up, when you guys came, we started playing at street hockey, and street hockey exploded in this area because there was no ice.
Yeah, the only one was Valley Ranch next to the Cowboys facility, and I think Galleria might have been the other one. And then they had one in Addison called the Addison Square Garden, a little makeshift deal.
Oh, yeah,
it was tiny, about
okay,
you know,
yeah.
50-by-50 rink, and so... but that was the big pitch, you know. Then, you know, God, they built about, I don't know, there's got to be 20-plus rinks now in town. But I think once the popularity started, they knew Dr. Pepper Star Centers, we need them all over. And then once the rinks were built, the kids came, and, you know, everything picked up from there. But, yeah, it took, you know, I think it was 3 or 4 years until it kind of really got some headway. And then we moved to Frisco, and then it blew up. Then hockey was going crazy.
Yeah.
From what I remember, Reunion was pretty full a couple years into it, wasn't it? I mean, it seemed to catch on pretty fast.
I think it was right off the start. It was good. You know, it was good. You know, the Stars Club outside was good, the tent. And, there really was no bars, no suites in Reunion. So you go to see a sporting event, you sit there in your seat and watch what's going on. Now there's so much going on, you know, trying to, you know, make a little few extra money with the suites and the bars and the restaurants. But, you know, you go to an event at Reunion, it's strictly, you're watching the Mavs and the Stars, and it was just really intense. That's
Did you have a fear, like, whenever, you know, the arena was announced, the new arena was announced, because Reunion was so loud in there, and you guys had such, I mean, a distinctive home ice advantage. You know, in those Colorado series especially, it was crazy in there at those times. Did you think that maybe the new arena wouldn't provide those same advantages?
Well, you get the posher surroundings. The team are like, oh, God, the locker rooms are great. They're nice and big. The ice is better. You know, Reunion, the facilities were just crap downstairs. The visiting room was made out of tile. You know, they had the cage hanging stalls. You know, it was just awful facilities for the visiting team, and it was hot. The ice was terrible. You know, every time they'd open up that storage, the delivery gate in the back,
yeah.
You know, it's 120 degrees. It comes in there, ruins the ice. The humidifiers broke all the time. So it was like we definitely had a home ice advantage because, you know, we knew how to play on that, you know, crummy ice. And but, yeah, it was terrible for visiting teams. And then they come to American Airlines and I'm like, man, this is awesome, man. It's too nice. So now they get too comfortable. It's like, oh, we're gonna be, you know, having to deal with that now.
Yeah, is there a game from that time? I always think of the – Game 7 against the Avalanche, yeah. But is there an atmosphere that sticks in your head?
Oh, man. I think those back-to-back series with Denver, you know, we had to win. I think both those years we had to win Game 6 in Denver to come back for Game 7.
That's right.
Yep. I don't think I've ever heard anything louder than, you know, that Game 7, those two Game 7s against Denver.
Do you remember, because in that Game 7 in 99, the Eddie's Better chant that broke mm-hmm. out, and Wall, like, skating – looking at the crowd like all pissed off, and it seemed like that just fed the energy, because I was at that game, and man, it seemed like it was so insanely loud, and I always wondered if on the ice you guys are cognizant of that.
Oh yeah, it was one of the loudest buildings I think I've ever played in. I think there's that one, Edmonton Coliseum, and actually the Shark Tank in San Jose. Yeah. Those three are ones I could talk to Sidor next to I can't even hear him on the bench. I mean, he's screaming at me. We couldn't hear anything. It was so loud, and Dallas was the same. It was just insanely loud. It was just one of those remarkable places to play. So fun.
None of them had suites, did they?
No suites.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's come back, and we will have a lot more with the great Mike Madonna next week.
Yeah. Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2024 has big-name guests, fun and laughs, live at the Plano Event Center. But it doesn't stop here. You get this on the ticket everywhere all the time right now from the guys you know and love to have fun with every single day. Keep your radio P1 button set to Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket.
Done?
Yeah. It is 6:38 here on The Ticket. We are live at Mullen and Mullen Injury Law Firm Ticket Stock 2024, and it is part of our visit now with the great Mike Madonna, the Hockey Hall of Famer, the Dallas sports legend, the highest scoring American to ever play hockey. How about that?
So gracious, signing a bunch of crap for free.
Yeah,
look at that. And a great dude. May I at least reference the Stanley Cup in Buffalo, that glorious 1999 June series win, Game 6, with you and Hully, and the way that game ended. Can we start with how hurt were you at the time? Do you remember just being so beat up after that playoff run?
Game 1, I broke my wrist. Got stood up and broke my wrist. So I was just kind of hoping that didn't turn out as bad as it did. It felt better the next day when I woke up. And I think at that point, I'm like, I will do, you know, whatever we got to do to it. So we numbed it up and built like a little makeshift cast, and just to kind of be able to get out there and play. So we were starting to drop like flies. And I think by Game 6, we were just hurting. I don't think Hully played at all in overtime until he scored.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, you know, I think if we always felt if it went Game 7, it would have been a tough Game 7.
Yeah, and that there was concerns about that, and you know how they are with information to those of us on the outside. I don't know if Mike is right, but I don't think it ever got out that you had a broken wrist, right?
No, I think it I don't think it was till probably towards the end. I think everybody just kind of figured, you know, something was up. So, but as it went on, you know, the adrenaline and everything, the excitement, you know, you never know you're going to get back to there again. So that's always weighing in on you. It's like, well, we're just going to do what we can just to kind of numb it up and play through it. And so at that point, we're just kind of, you know, it's just like whatever we can to get back on the ice that next game.
So I was lucky enough to be there that night in Buffalo, and my memory, I mean, there were a lot of things, but one of the takeaways was, like Dirk in Miami, you were
you were full of tears. And I don't know what a championship does to a man that makes him just kind of lose it emotionally, but I always had that connection between you two as both being kind of unable to kind of harness the emotions of the moment.
Well, I think our situation was very similar in the sense we were both drafted, you know, by the team, went through a lot of changes, some ups and downs, some bad drafts, some good drafts, good trades, bad trades, a couple coaches here and there. So, you know, we always felt you go through the tough times and the good times, and then you finally get to this point where, you know, you stuck it out, everything came together for one spring, and you're just like, you know, you just let out this emotion like, man, we finally did it. You know, all the grinding we did up until that point for, you know, 13 years being in the organization. So very similar with Dirk. You know, we actually talk about that a lot, that we just had similar paths and how to get there and get and finally win. But, yeah, once it was over, I was a mess. I think from that point on, I feel like I cry about everything. You know,
it happens.
I watch Rudy, and I'm crying. I'm like,
that's a great movie.
Something's
I love that movie.
Something's
such a good movie,
right, Corby?
Something's happening as I've gotten older. I just cry at the drop of a finger.
No, I think
I hear you.
I think
but
it
that
happens.
Started at Nine Slope Market.
When you get to a certain point, do you sense that you get to the top of Everest and then you're like, okay, so what's next, or do I can this be done again, or does it sort of quench that thirst a little bit?
It certainly quenches the thirst, but I think we felt too that we still had the same kind of makeup going into the following year. So we thought, you know, why, you know, we're gonna, no changes were made, no pieces were moved, we still had everybody that we had. Granted, a couple defensemen here and there. I think we added Dave Manson and someone else, a couple defensemen.
Cote.
Yeah. Sylvain
Cote.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we were right there knocking on the door. And so, I mean, we, you know, I go back to game, you know, maybe, I don't know if it was game two in Jersey where we got smoked. I think it was 7-3 or something. So
that's the game we took Gordon to.
And yeah, Gordon takes credit for that, actually.
They told me, they said, hey, watch this exciting goalie named Ed Belfour. He's amazing. You're going to be so impressed with him. And I watched him get pulled from a Stanley Cup game. Finals game. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
He so let then, in like eight or
yep,
eight,
seven,
eight.
Seven.
I can't remember.
It was seven.
The cough medicine or something.
I know.
It was cough medicine.
I think he took the NyQuil instead of the DayQuil. So... But that was the start of the end with Jersey. So we felt we should have won that year. And I think after we lost that, we all thought things are going to change. People are going to be moving in and out. Guys' contracts were up. So, of course, no one really was going to stick around and move on. And you know, so then you go back to 99. It's like, oh, just, you know, thank God we got one.
Yeah.
You know, I can be content with one. And then from then on, you feel like there's a little, you know, relief and an air of confidence to our team. You know, we got some notoriety around the league and some respect. So it was a good turning point for our organization.
Did you hear, this is, I think, interesting to what the athlete hears from fans or media. We didn't have social media back then. But I do remember a lot of criticism about, well, this team just can't do it. Modano's too soft. We didn't say that on the station. We watched you skate and said, well, you look great to us.
You guys didn't know
about hockey.
What the hell you're talking about.
Look great to us. But there were, you know, whispers like that in town. Did you hear that stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's, you know, there's only so much time that you got to wait on a player. You know, you give them time, you're patient and try to work, get some pieces around them that might bring something out of them too. And so, there was talks about maybe moving, going somewhere. You know, every time the trade deadline came up, probably when I was 23 to 28, there was something, you know, mentioned that, you know, we could bottle something up that would be pretty worthwhile for both teams or whoever got involved. But I think Baumgainey always felt like there was something there that, you know, we could work with and work around. And so I owe him a lot just to kind of be patient and work through it. He felt like, you know, if we got the right pieces around him, we could create a really good atmosphere, a sense of winning, kind of learning how to win. And so we had some old guys that come in from Mike Keane, Skrulin, Carbono, Ludwig, those guys all had one, and we had some young guys who didn't really know what it took. But then being around those guys, you saw the sacrifice, the commitment, you know, laying it on the line to win games in the playoffs. It was a real eye-opener for us. So, but, yeah, it was probably 26, too. I was 26, 27 down here, and we went to the World Cup in 1996, and we beat Canada best out of three. So that got me a little excited about the game again, came back with some confidence. And from then on, we had about, you know, got 5, 6, 7 years here that we felt like we ran the board.
Yeah.
Did you – you played in a – I think a really interesting – and pretty much everybody that played in the 90s, grew up playing in the 90s in whatever sport, feel like you bridged a gap between really old school in your sport and then kind of the newer fangled ideas as far as fitness goes, as far as training, as far as diet, all of that. You had a guy that smoked in between periods, right, that you played with. But did you – yeah, it really is to think about. But for – like you mentioned Brett Hull. Was Brett the perfect hybrid of that older style and then the newer style? I mean, because the dude, he never looked in shape, right? You always looked like you were ready for the season in perfect shape. He never really did. Did he work hard at it, or was it just everything natural for him?
I think it was very natural. He just had a gift. I think he had a great shot from his dad. I think he had the knack of where to go. But he got around the ice pretty good for us. He was moving around pretty good. But he knew where to stand. He knows where to go in the slot. That's where he's going. You know, he's going to be there. Everybody on the ice knows it. On TV knows where he's going to be. He's going to get the puck in there. So, but Brett would, you know, he'd kind of get lost in the shuffle. He'd kind of move around a lot. They always thought he was there. He'd kind of move around, and then all of a sudden, boom, puck's on his stick and it's off in an instant, you know. So he was able to, you know, get it off in a great area. You know, he could speak and just talk about all the things about the game that we wanted to talk about that just we wouldn't say it publicly. But, yeah, you know, Brett was kind of our voice for that. So, but, you know, he would always say, if guys are hanging on me, my hands are free, I'm open, I can get the shot off.
Yeah.
You know, he was just a freak with the shot.
Did you know him very well before he came to town?
Or the World Cup.
A little bit. We did the World Cup and Canada Cup together, and he was having that whole Canada-U.S. kind of thing. He was born in Canada but got his U.S. Citizenship, I think, from his dad moving to Chicago or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I wish I was with him for more years than just the three. It would have been great.
Corby mentioned the transition from old-school hockey to new-school hockey and Hull and Belfour, and he mentioned Zubov smoking in the locker room, and Ludwig. Like, of all those dudes, who was the biggest anti-athlete that was so good, but yet you couldn't believe how they treated their own body?
I'd say Zubov. I mean,
the smoking.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
He was kind of the last of the smoking. a guy smoking. I just couldn't believe that he could. And he was freakishly strong. I don't think he ever went and worked out or did anything, but he just, you know, he could grip, his grip strength is just his overall, just, and, you know, go through a couple packs a day and play 50 minutes a night. I was like, it was just.
And he'd smoke in the room.
Yeah. He's just a freak.
If he could
just
smoke on the ice, would he?
If he could, he probably.
Probably has.
Just hit a heater on it. Yeah.
Like Eddie Van Halen at the cigarette at the front. Yeah. Have it at the end of his stick.
Because he can draw it in about two puffs. I mean, that thing was, you know, two drags and it was gone. It was a quick.
Did they really have an ashtray in the shower area for him, like a makeshift ashtray?
We had those old Folgers coffee cans.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had that taped to the wall. And, you know, about five Bud Lights on the disc. This soap holder and folding chair in there, so he just, you know, that was his spot.
Have you ever seen Brett Hull drink a beer?
Yeah.
How many times have you watched the footage of the Blues celebration guy?
Did he have as much fun in 99 as then?
Yeah, he had more fun in 99, I'm sure.
Did you have a guy back then that you hated, like Adam Foote with the Avs, or, you know, Roenick?
Messier.
Oh, Messier. Man, Messier, Foote. God, you name them all. The Scott Stevens, Rob Blake, Claude Lemieux. God, there was just some characters that just were, you know, back then it was pretty soft on the calls. You know, it wasn't really, you know, it was like a hook and grab and clutch and grab. I mean, you just you worked to get up and down that ice. You know, you felt like you were carrying three or four guys around, but man, it was just vicious. It was just you know, those playoff series. I mean, it was prison rules. Yeah. It was just, you know.
Did any of them scare you?
Yeah. You learn to play with your head up a lot.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I love you. I'll go. What memories do you have, if any, of the night of the Messier hit?
Really none.
None? Have your kids? Stretcher, you don't remember that? I'm wearing a gorilla outfit.
Have your kids seen you get tumped off the stretcher?
I think they did.
They did?
I think they did. They probably will now. They're looking it up now. What are they talking about?
Like, oh, man.
They, like, remix it on TikTok.
Yeah.
And you don't have any memory of that? No memory?
No.
God.
Wow. I know.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
Did you wake up in the hospital?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many concussions do you think you had?
Oh, God. Maybe five.
Wow.
Yeah.
One per kid.
Jeez. Yeah.
There you go.
That explains it.
Yeah.
But right. Let's take our last break. Yeah, it's 6:51.
More with Mike Madonna. With a hockey stick, I will back you up.
Probably the nicest superstar athlete that I've ever met. This is many years ago, 20 years ago, and I've been in the business 10 years or so. So I've been used to being blown off a lot by famous athletes. You know, you ask them for an interview after practice or something, and they say, "Yeah, I'll be right back," and then I never see him again. Well, one time I was at Stars practice, and I went up to Mike, and I said, "Do you have a couple minutes for an interview?" And he goes, "I got to go in special teams meeting right now, but I'll get you afterwards." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, right." And then I'm looking for some other players to interview, and I just figured he was blowing me off. And then like 15 minutes later, I get a tap on the shoulder, and I turn around, and it's him, and he goes, "You ready to do that interview?" And I was like,
"Wow.
You guys want to hug it out right now."
Junior, you said, "I'll be right back." Someone else to talk to.
So I just wanted to thank you for always being so gracious and such a great guy.
Thanks, Junior.
Yeah. You make me cry.
He's hot and sweet.
Thanks.
Yes, hot and sweet.
I do feel like we owe you a lot for those days, from going on the medieval inn with Gordo late at night.
Oh, God.
Showing up to our ridiculous hockey games.
Yep.
You and Hull serving us margaritas.
That was incredible.
God, those are so fun.
You're always so
Hull would
kind
pour
to
one
us.
For us and two for him.
Those charity classics were so fun. Oh.
Had you seen that level of talent on the ice in some time?
Corby, sit up, right?
I think it was
so casual. Get your foot up on the table.
I think it was more fun, the play-by-play that was on the ticket. I don't know who was doing it, but
he
it
was
this
one
guy.
Of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
It was
I mean, it was a few of them.
Fun.
It was
screaming.
Because the first one was at Valley Ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was just
packed.
Jammed. Then, you know, then Reunion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had like 12,000 there for Reunion or something. It was something crazy.
Yeah, 13, 15, something like that.
We almost got a franchise.
What
we
a
were
riot.
So popular.
That close. That close. Yeah.
Could we have pulled off 1 point in a year?
Yeah.
No. 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 1 point?
82 games?
I remember there was 1 year. Did I skate 1 or 2 years? It was 1 or 2 years where I came
probably
down out of the booth and actually performed.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, because I'd practiced and I thought I was going fast.
No.
And then I watched the replay.
Yeah.
It was so sad. It looked like somebody who had just been in a horrible car accident who was trying to rehabilitate.
Some rehab on the ice.
Yes. Moving at a crawl.
Davey and Gilbert, they could skate.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah, Cactus Davey. And a few others, but that was about it.
God,
so Mike, what do you think your emotions are going to be? What do you think you're going to feel when they unveil that statue? Have you thought about that moment?
I've been more and more as it's creeping closer to the date. Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think that's the last thing we'll ever have to do through the organization. You know, this is it. So it's the last little get together. So, but yeah, it'll be tough to see that.
Is everything?
I've seen some previews of what it's going to look like, and it's just like it's going to be amazing. Because I was in the guy. Amar, who does it, he's an Israeli artist, and he's out of Chicago. So I was there in Chicago at the early stages of this thing, kind of walking through it. And next to it was the finished Barry Sanders for Ford Field. I was like, oh, because Barry wow. I was a big fan of Barry, obviously growing in Detroit. Hey. But his, I mean, the detail, I mean, everything was just so great. And he did Dirk, so I'm sure it's going to look great.
Are you going to get a miniature for your house?
I hope so. That'd be nice. That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. Put it like in the pool. Put it right out and coming out of it.
Put it right in the front porch, front yard.
Yeah, I get the same size.
So, what was the craziest thing you guys did with the Stanley Cup? Didn't you guys dent it or something like that?
Threw it off the roof.
Yeah,
the Pantera Mansion.
We had a long night at Vinny's house.
Oh, at Vinny Paul from Pantera.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
We had a long one.
It was the most damage ever incurred to the cup, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Almost missed the parade next morning.
Was there a golden shower?
Oh,
what? Dave, jeez, what, Dave?
Dave, wait a minute. Dave. So you stayed up pretty much all night, and then you had to get up at what time?
I don't know.
Did you even sleep?
I don't think we did. We all went home, showered, and had to get back down to, I don't know where we started. City, I don't know where that thing started.
City Hall, maybe?
A little rant corner over there.
It was a challenge.
Well, I heard it got dented because you threw it in the pool. I would defend you there thinking that would not dent the cup if it landed in
the
water.
It
hit the diving board.
Yeah. Our guy who traveled with it at the time he was done with us, he was like, man, he just hadn't seen a run like this because I think what was unique about that summer was Tom Hicks had it picked out for a few things, events. So it stayed in town after we won for a good 2.5 weeks, but it always wasn't with Tom Hicks. It was with, you know, for us for about 12 nights.
Oh, right.
Gosh.
So, man. I mean, after the 12th night, I didn't care if I ever seed it again in my life. we were just like...
Everyone had thrown up at the top.
Yes. Been washed and sanitized how many times. But then it goes off and travels around the world to each guy for one day. But, I mean, I said, God, that was a tough week and a half.
What did you do on your day?
We just sat in the back in the pool and had a barbecue with some friends and family, neighbors and stuff like that. But it was a very calm day.
So when you were at Vinny's, like, the guy takes it out of the case with his white gloves and hands it to you, and then you just hand it right to a stripper.
Oh, Vinny had a great time. So I'll leave it at that.
We'll put this over on Vinny if you don't mind.
I'm blaming on Vinny and Craig Ludwig.
So you won.
Ludwig.
You've won pretty much everything there was to win in the sport of hockey. You've had pretty much every honor. And that's why I wanted to ask you, are you still mad about a Rookie of the Year?
Yeah.
Way to go, Bob.
So if you guys don't know, he was the last 19-year-old to lose a Rookie of the Year to a 31-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
As Sergei Makarov came over from Russia after being a pro for a dozen years.
Right.
Commie.
And they gave him the Calder Trophy.
So they gave it to June, and then August, Bettman changed the rule. No one over 24 can win the Rookie of the Year. I was like, wow. Are you kidding me?
He's mad.
So I changed the rule book for the NHL. Thank you.
The Mike Modano.
Yeah. I still tell myself I won it.
How's a 31-year-old win Rookie of the Year? That's crazy.
Yeah. Miracle on Ice guy. I'm like, God, he was in it.
Yeah, he was at Lake Placid. That's awesome.
That is wrong. All right, well, Mike's got to catch a flight, so we want to thank him for an hour.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mike Modano.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mike.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you, P1s. We're back tomorrow for another day here at Ticket Stock.
Thank you.
I'll see myself out.